minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, hooligans. This is your friendly Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy. Trying something new, Colfax. You know, you got to change it
up. Switch it up.
Yeah, it's your friendly Hull Show. We're going to talk a lot. We're going to talk sports today. Oh, wow. Shocker. I had the Raiders in that one last night. Colbs, I even tweeted it out. I said, where's my money going? And all you Twitterers all said the Raiders pretty much. So I went with you. That could have been a lot worse. I mean, it was 21-0 at the end of the half. This AFC West, guys, is pretty damn scary. It's stacked right now. And the Raiders showed you what they could be in that second half, specifically in that third quarter. But they couldn't run the ball. Gruden really wanted to try to run the ball, and they just weren't getting anything. But you know who was running the ball? The kid that grew up just north of here in Eaton, Colorado, and that's Austin Eckler.
Second and 11, draw to Eckler. Has the first down, trying to run away. Second and 1, Herbert. Lofting, end zone, touchdown. It's Eckler on the wheel. Second and 6, it's Eckler. Has the first down. 5.5 left in the fourth. Eckler. Breaking away, end zone, touchdown. Austin Eckler for the Chargers.
I mean, it's hard to get mad at that guy. Like, I had the Raiders picked, so you're rooting for your pick, obviously, sometimes. Like, when I picked the Broncos to lose, I wasn't rooting for the Broncos. But in this case, I was rooting for the Raiders. And it's hard, though, when you're seeing a guy that we all, you know, have seen and covered on Preps Radio, all that stuff, you can't root against him. Good for him. Look at that. Look at that stat line. 15 carries, 117 yards, one touchdown, 3 receptions, 28 yards, and another touchdown. He had 2 touchdowns last night. Chargers are good. Chargers are really good. So you got the Chargers sitting at 3-1, the Raiders sitting at 3-1, the Broncos sitting at 3-1, and the Chiefs are still in the basement at 2-2. I don't think that's lasting long, folks. Easy, Dixon, easy. I'm saying it's not going to last long. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043, 888-530-0043. So Monday Night Football, that was interesting. AFC West stuff. By the way, it's Top Text Tuesday today, so... Right. I need something special to happen today, Hooligans. You guys have been all right, you know. We've been okay the last few weeks. But I want some greatness today. I mean, let's go. It's freaking October 5th. You got baseball playoffs starting tonight. The Nuggets had a preseason game last night. Bones Highland is the real deal. Actually, I'm always calling everybody Bones, like Teddy Bones, Tommy Bones. We actually have a Bones now, and I kind of want to give him a different nickname. But anyway, it's awesome. It's exciting. So, I mean, you got football in full force. Power to Play Sports poll questions about Colorado State today. Do you think they'll have a winning record in the Mountain West, in Mountain West play? I'm kind of optimistic. Yeah, I am. I off the air, I'm talking to Scott Patchen yesterday, and you know, he just shook his head. He's like, dude, that Vanderbilt game, it was bad. He's like, we know that. It was just awful. I don't know what it was, man. But it wasn't us. Didn't feel like us. And so we'll see if they're going to turn a corner starting this Saturday. So I got a lot to talk about today. Zach Stevens will join me today. How about Ed McCaffrey, though? All these people keep transferring out of CSU, and McCaffrey's like, hey, 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 you don't got to go far. You think he says it like that? Hey, Greeley's not that far from Fort Collins, man. You won't even have to move. Well, you're probably going to need to move, yeah, but it's not that long of a trip. Can't blame a guy for trying. I don't know if it's going to work out. I mean, some of these players, they probably think they're FBS talent. And they are, obviously, they were. So the old question, age-old question is, do you want to come here and perhaps dominate? Or do you want to go somewhere else and... You know, there's arguments to be made for both. If you're transferring, you're clearly not playing a lot, right? So the question would be, if you're a transfer portal entry guy, do you want to go be the big fish in a small pond or the small fish in a big pond? That's the question. Ellison Hubbard comes to UNC, and I would imagine, you know, next year, he gets that 1 year. I would imagine he starts. I would imagine he lights it up a little bit. I would just imagine that. Oh, boy, the Urban Meyer thing. We were actually getting people, like, disagreeing, like, thinking it wasn't that big of a deal. Well, how about this report, Colfax? CBSSports.com. This is the headline. Urban Meyer scandal, which I don't know if it's a scandal. Urban Meyer scandal reportedly reaches crisis point. Jaguars owner issues statement on inexcusable conduct. I was thinking about this last night because, you know, we had people that were like, oh, the record shouldn't mean as much and da-da-da-da-da. I'm telling you, dude, if he was winning, like if you saw Gruden, if this happened to Gruden, if you saw Gruden at his own restaurant, and he's got a chick dancing up on him. I'm just being honest here. And they were winning games. They were like 5-0 and they're rolling again. Don't you think people would be like, that's Gruden, man. That's Gruden out there doing crazy things. That's how he operates. And again, personal side, I'm not getting into it. I'm just telling you. I know maybe the records shouldn't matter, but don't be naive. The Jaguars, according to CBS Sports, have a serious problem on their hands. And boy, it's not. I don't know, man. This is probably going to end badly quickly, I think. Sports Illustrated's Michael Silver reported that the Urban Meyer situation has reached a quote unquote quote crisis point unquote. One player told, check this out, Colbs. This is why it's a bad move. Everything I said yesterday is true. Because how are you going to tell your players not to do this stuff? Hey guys, we just lost. It's not a good look to be out partying. That's what you were doing though. Well, yeah, but that, you can't. You can't do it. One player told Silver that Meyer has zero credibility and had very little to begin with, according to Silver. Players were put off by the fact that Meyer canceled Monday's team meeting as he continued to deal with the fallout from the weekend videos. One player reportedly saw Meyer as being too scared. While Meyer said in a Monday press conference that he apologized to the team, Silver was told that Meyer only apologized to position groups individually and portrayed the young woman in the videos as a random person who was just at the restaurant dancing. She was just a random girl that just happens to kind of back my way over here, and you're not doing anything about it. No, 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 no. The lie, the cover-up is always worse than the actual event, man. Call it out, call it what it is. The player told Silver this. We looked at him like, WTF. Right when he left, everyone started dying laughing, and he knew it. He heard us. You're telling me that this ain't a big deal? Yeah, it is, bro. Cheating on your wife or whatever the hell happened, okay, that's for a different discussion, but you're a head football coach that has no credibility in the NFL. So when I said yesterday the wins do freaking matter, because couldn't you just see Gruden? 3-1, they see him out in Vegas? Hey, guys, it's my business, but it's the things I do, right? We're crazy. As long as you put football first. And I did. I did all my film study. Obviously, we're 3-1. You know? I mean, you don't think it has anything to do with anything, but the guy doesn't have any credibility. And now this happens? He's a joke. It's a joke. He didn't go home with the team. He stayed. And I get it. The reasonable excuse would have been, I go to be with my family. Guys, I'm not going to make it back to Jacksonville. I'm going to go see my grandkids and all that stuff. Okay, but then this video comes out. I don't care if it was only 9 seconds. And then after the video ended, he pushed her away. You saw the video. I saw the video. Did it look like he was having a bad time? Did it look like he had any intentions of moving her away from his body? She wasn't just a girl dancing around. I mean, I was just sitting there. I wasn't going to move. I mean, that's where I'm sitting. And she found her way over to me. I don't even know if she knew I was there. But, I mean, I'm not going to be rude. She's dancing. She's having a good time. let's text here. Noob, tell Urban we have an opening at the Den for talent director. I think he has a good eye. Okay. This is going to be one of those top text Tuesdays, isn't it? Yeah. Works out. Let's see here. Beginner's luck, I'm afraid to say, because, okay, we're talking Vic Fangio. All right, let's do it. Because I like Vic, that the Broncos' biggest problem right now is coaching and scheme. All week we were hearing that Lamar was out of practice due to a back injury, and our game plan is to not let him run, but to let him sit back and pocket and pass untouched. Let him run. Yeah, I mean, well, then you got Fangio's all beat out of shape about this whole, you know, Baltimore needed 5 yards to get that record of consistent games with 100 yards to tie it, I think, right? And so the last play of the game, there's a few seconds left on the clock. They ran it. They got their record instead of kneeling it. Vic Fangio was so mad and said, wait, we expected that. Well, Harbaugh fires right back and says, they were running play. They were down 16, and they were still calling timeouts to try to score that final touchdown, which wouldn't have mattered. Harbaugh said, I don't recall there ever being a 16-point play. So he's basically saying, hey, I can make the argument for both. Vic Fangio's argument should be, you know, we wanted to get Drew Lock another couple of reps for probably because he's going to play next week. Get him in the red zone a little bit. Work him out. See more. Perfect. I'm on board with you. Baltimore's excuse was we wanted to tie a record. Did they tie the record or break the record? I think they tied it. I could be wrong. Have no problem with either. There was one play left. Run the damn play. I'm good with both, but Fangio, so furious about it. Fangio needs to worry about himself, man. He needs to worry about his timeout situation. He needs to worry about his play-calling situation. Late in the first half, he wasn't calling timeouts. They could have potentially done something with it. Late in the game, when there's 4 minutes left and Baltimore gets that first down to get into field goal range, that's when Fangio also should have started calling timeouts. But he didn't. You let Baltimore run the clock almost, you know, not all the way down, but pretty close. Not that there would have been a great percentage chance that the Broncos come back, but you're like basically saying, and then they get the ball back with the last possession, calling timeouts like crazy. Trying to get one touchdown. That's not going to matter. 16-point game. So, I have issues with both sides. I don't know why the Broncos are making such a big stink out of it. I'm good with it. But he's upset. He offered a stinging thought on the Ravens side of it. He said, I thought it was kind of BS. He said it out. I expected it from them. 37 years of Pro Bowl. I've never seen anything like that. But it was to be expected, and we expected it. Never seen it? I mean, come on. There's never been a team that has ran a play with 3 seconds left rather than kneeling. Who was the old coach that was coaching for Tampa Bay? Wasn't it Tampa Bay that, like, when teams would kneel, he was still putting on a full-on blitz, which I think is a jack, you know, move. But still, it's like that was worse than this. You're acting like this was just the worst thing in the world. So I on both sides of it, I'm like, you know what, Vic, go for it. Score a touchdown with Drew Lock. Go score a touchdown and keep trying. Harbaugh talked back and said, it's one of those things that's meaningful. It's a very, very tough record to accomplish. It's a long-term record. So I'm not going to say it's more important than winning the game, for sure. It's certainly not. But as a head coach, I think you do that for your players and you do that for your coaches. And that's something they'll have for the rest of their lives. One day later, Harbaugh was surprised by Fangio's remarks, according to ESPN. He said, I thought we were on good terms, he said Monday. We had a nice chat before the game. We've known each other for a long time. I promise you, I'm not going to give that insult one second thought. He said, and then he went on to comment about the fact that, you know, hey, the Ravens had the opportunity to run the ball late because Drew Lock threw the ball into the end zone that was intercepted by Baltimore. Here's his other quote. You're throwing the ball in the end zone with 10 seconds left. I don't know if there's a 16-point touchdown that's going to be possible right there, Harbaugh said. So that didn't have anything to do with winning the game. What's meaningful to us might not be meaningful to them. We're not going to concern ourselves with that. The Elias Sports Bureau could not confirm the last time in the past 25 years that a team gained yards on a play that began in the final 5 seconds while leading by at least 10 points. So, okay, it doesn't happen very often. Elias did find a play in 1992 when Spencer Tillman ran for a yard with 2 seconds left when his Houston Oilers led the San Diego Chargers 27-0. Asked whether it was sportsmanship, a sportsmanship issue or a player safety issue, Fangio said all of the above. He added that he believed that hits on wide receiver Deontay Spencer and quarterback Teddy Bridgewater in back-to-back plays in the second quarter should have been penalties, though they were not flagged. Neither player returned to the game. Kareem Jackson said, honestly, I don't give a blank about that last play. More so care about the plays through the game, being it's our job to stop them. They ran it to get their 100 yards or whatever they were trying to do. I mean, as a whole defense, we didn't play up to the standard we set for ourselves. Noah Fant said, I really wasn't offended by it. It just kind of seemed like, obviously, the statistical things are important to them. If it was me, I'm getting a win and getting out of there. To each his own. We still lost. That's all that matters to me. That's all that matters to us. Well, to be fair, Noah Fant, you're in no jeopardy of breaking any record anytime soon. I mean, dude, it's a consistent streak of running for 100 yards for a certain amount of games. They tied the Steelers for the NFL record of 43 consecutive 100-yard rushing games. Significant. It's history. 20 years from now, they're in the history. If they break that, they're in the history books. I have no issue with that. That would have the record would have been done at that point. They would have to go another 43 games to try to break that. So I'm good. I'm good with it. Text line, fire it up. 888. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Greg Schiano. He was at Tampa. But yeah, it was Greg Schiano. Yeah, he would typically, teams would get in the kneel position, the victory formation, and he would still blitz. He'd send the blitz to try to, I don't know, to slap the ball out of the guy's hand that's kneeling, and like the odds of that happening are 0.001% maybe. But his old adage was, as long as there's time on the clock, we're playing football. Which is just, that's dangerous. Because you get, guys aren't really blocking anymore. They're going to do the victory formation, and both teams kind of have an agreement. All right, there's really no way we can win this game. So you're going to kneel it down. Power to Play Sports poll question is available at thewholeshow.com. After failing, that was yesterday's poll question. It's not refreshed, Colfax. My goodness. Do you think the Colorado State Rams are going to have a winning record in the Mountain West Conference? And I'm going to tell you, on the other side, 23 minutes after the hour. When we come back, we'll talk about that real quickly. Drew Locke, is it going to be him? Is he going to start on Sunday? And what kind of opportunity does this pose for him? Could he re-earn his starting role? Or is it the old Mike Shanahan adage, you're not going to lose your job to injury? 23 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. For the latest on the Broncos, the Nuggets, and the Rockies, listen to The Hull Show weekdays at noon on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Colfax, real quickly, let's get to our big story of the day. I like just throwing that out. I just test you to make sure you're awake. Big story of the day presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Antonio Senzatella and the Rockies agree to a 5-year, $50.5 million contract extension. Some were kind of like, oh, that's the... Well, he was actually one of the more consistent pitchers in the second half of the season. And I think, for the most part, wasn't starting pitching kind of their strong suit for the Rockies. So, yeah. Go for it. Sure thing. Righto. There we go. Enough Rockies talk. 12:29 the time. Do want to shout out to Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. If you've been in Northern Colorado for even a short amount of time, there's a darn good chance you or someone you know has been touched by the great work over at Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. They're celebrating over 51 years of being specialists in the medicine of motion. If you're hurting, you know, and our friends at Rev Chiropractic, it becomes too extreme, right? There's certain things that Rev can help you with, and then there's points where it's like, I can't even operate anymore. Check out Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. I love how those two kind of work together. First Advantage, text line 888-530-0043. Top Text Tuesday. Noob's got a good one cooking right now. Keep them coming. Drew Lock, could he re-earn his starting role? Is there any way, is there any scenario that you see Sunday against the Pittsburgh Steelers where you would go, Drew's going to, again, he might, you know, we don't know right now. It's still up in the air, but concussion protocol typically takes a little while. We're going to talk to Zach Stevens from DNVR Broncos here in just a moment to see if that's in case going to be what's going to happen going forward. And is there a point where Locke would just light it up so much that you go, all right, we have a quarterback controversy again. Now, you're laughing right now because everyone's freaking out at second half saying Drew Locke was terrible. He was lost. He didn't know what he was doing and blah, blah, blah. I'm just saying this Baltimore defense was having their way with Teddy Bridgewater. The Broncos couldn't do anything offensively. They got the one touchdown, all right. I think it's in part to a 33-yard run by the rookie Javonte Williams, and then they stopped running after that. But it wasn't like Teddy was getting a lot going. So this whole thing about, well, yeah, clearly the right decision. Yeah, sure, I get it. The first three games, that shows us that the right decision was made, at least at this stage. You guys know where I stand on the whole future thing and knowing what the hell you got in Drew. Well, here you go. You might find out. And if he's terrible on Sunday, maybe that's enough of a sample size. Let's talk to Zach coming up next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Prep Sports and the UNC Bears are on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kevin Lytle, your Colorado State Athletics beat reporter for the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. This is The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Joining me now is Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos, our Broncos insider. Zach, my friend, a little heated after that game. Vic Fangio, we heard from Coach Harbaugh. Both sides kind of a little annoyed with each other the way that finished.
Yeah, some nice drama. How about that, Brady? And it was pretty ironic because after the game, Vic said he doesn't want this team to be hungover, was his word, from this game to the Steelers game. He says, we're on to Pittsburgh. And then 24 hours later, he's still talking about this game and just making it very clear how upset he was. And what's so interesting is he knows John Harbaugh and the Baltimore Ravens organization. Well, he worked for Harbaugh 2 years out there in Baltimore. So when he's taking shots saying, I know how this organization works and operates and that player safety is secondary to them, you got to think that means something.
Well, so what was your take on this? I looked at it, and I side with both, because I side with Fangio for going for the touchdown with Drew Locke. I get it. You want more reps, whatever. But, you know, Harbaugh even said it. He's like, I don't remember any 16-point plays in the last 10 seconds. So I honestly didn't have a problem going for a record. I mean, 20 years from now, that could be, if you get it, obviously next week, that could be remembered for a very, very long time. I don't know that we're going to remember how this specific game finished.
I completely agree with you, Brady. And I don't mind that Vic Fangio was trying to throw touchdowns at the end, because you just try to get a little momentum there. And also, there's 10 seconds. Maybe a miracle could happen, although that's really hard to convince people that you actually thought you were playing to win the game there. But on the flip side, I also don't mind that the Ravens ran the ball. Like you said, that's a record. And this isn't just a meaningless record for them. Now, outside of the country or outside of Baltimore, not a lot of people knew about this record until all this blew up. But in Baltimore, they're a running team. That's their identity. And John Harbaugh, look, he's a guy that has focused on winning every single preseason game because that's important to him. So you think if preseason's important to him, how important is this, you know, this record? It obviously means a lot. I didn't mind it at all. But you know what? He set himself up in a position where, sure, what if a Bronco got hurt? That would be really bad. What if Lamar Jackson got hurt? He put his team in a risky position as well. So it wasn't like it was just all of the Broncos taking a chance by playing this play. He also took a big chance with his star quarterback.
Yeah, you know, and you know what Harbaugh said was, hey, it was for the team, my players and all that. And maybe they really wanted it. Maybe everybody was like, let's go for it. And so you can see it. But you're right. If Lamar goes down, that move is probably the worst move in the history of football if Lamar's out for a considerable amount of time. Zach,
seriously,
let's talk. Go ahead.
And Brady, just really quick, I was just going to add to that and say, flip it. And if this was the Broncos and let's say they had a record on the line, I think most people would say, yeah, go for the record, especially if it's only 3 yards.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, again, you might never touch that record again. You might never look at that record. Records are great. That's what we all celebrate. That's how guys get in the Hall of Fame. They have ceremonies surrounding it. So, I mean, they're fantastic if you can get it in one play. It's not. I just don't think it's going to be the end of the world. But there we go. Speaking of injuries, let's go here first. Teddy Bridgewater. I was on ESPN earlier, and of course, there he is, Zach Stevens, posting yesterday. Coach Vic Fangio said Monday that Bridgewater remains in the concussion protocol. You're famous, Zach.
That's too cool.
What are we thinking here? Is it going to be Drew Lock time on Sunday against the Steelers?
You know, concussions are really difficult to project, but everything I've heard from Vic behind the scenes is that Teddy Bridgewater, for having a concussion, is doing pretty darn well. He's feeling good, so that's good. But in the concussion protocol, you have to hit certain steps, and we're going to find out if he's hitting certain steps starting tomorrow. If he's out there at practice, that's a really good sign. He won't be able to truly practice, though. In fact, I don't think he'll be able to truly practice until Friday, and Friday is the most walkthrough of all of their practices. So if Teddy Bridgewater plays this weekend, it's going to be without any true practices under his belt. So Vic Fangio is going to have to answer that question with the coaches. Is that better, Teddy Bridgewater that doesn't practice, or Drew Lock that practices the whole week? Me, I'm still going with Teddy. I don't think he needs these reps throughout the week. And I do think that he will eventually be cleared. But if not, you're going with Drew Lock. And Drew Lock made it clear after the game that he really missed all of those reps throughout the week of practice, and that really impacted him. Well, that's not going to be an excuse this week, because if he plays, he's going to have all the reps this week.
Now, there's so many questions in my brain for you, Zach. But, okay, let's assume for a moment that Teddy's not going to play. Is there any scenario that you could see, and I have to ask it, I know you hate me for it, any scenario where Drew Lock, if he lights this thing up, where we have a discussion on Monday or Tuesday or whatever, that's like, hey, is there a little bit of a quarterback controversy, or is it like, no, this is the old Shanahan rule, you're not losing your job to injury?
You and me will be having that conversation. A lot of people outside the Broncos building will be having that conversation, Brady, but no, there's no chance that inside the Broncos building they will be having that. Now, and this past week really hurt Drew, because
right,
he did not look good at all. Let's say Drew comes out, though, and he balls in the second half and brings the Broncos back to victory, and then he comes out and balls again against the Steelers, then he only has good tape out there. But now, Brady, he has looked like a backup already. So if he comes out and has a good game against the Steelers, they'll say, yeah, that's what we thought Drew was capable of, but then they'll fall back on the bad half that he had. Whether that's fair or not, that's what they'll do, and they'll roll with Teddy, because Teddy right now has 3 great games of tape and 1 bad half of tape.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept too, because I actually think if Drew goes Sunday, I'll feel a little better if whether he does great or struggles, because part of me deep down was, the only reason I really wanted to see Drew Lock was I wanted to answer that question. I wanted to be done with it at the end of the season. Is Drew Lock the guy? Could he be the guy? And after a terrible half, and again, reps be damned, whatever, after a terrible half against the Ravens, and if he comes out against Pittsburgh and is bad, that might be enough. That might be enough for us to say, all right, we're officially closing the book.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. And in fact, I think most fans are there already after just one half of football. And I think that it shows why the Broncos went with Teddy Bridgewater. And now the question for Drew is, if he doesn't get to play again this year, which, I mean, he's already played and we're only a month into the season, so the chances are he's probably going to play again. But if he doesn't play again, is he a good backup? And I'm not saying, is he good enough to be in the NFL? I'm saying, is he that Brett Rypien type, where Brett Rypien comes in at the end of that Bucks game last year, and he looks good. He goes 7-for-7 until he throws a pick at the very end when he's trying to play hero ball, and just the guy that doesn't have to have those reps throughout the week, and that doesn't have to be using that as an excuse to why he played that, or is Drew really, you know, a starter, an all or nothing type of guy in the NFL?
Boy, Zach, staying on the quarterback discussion, it was tough over the weekend to see Mac Jones and Justin Fields do their thing. And, you know, Patrick Surtain, I still love it. I still love the pick. But, you know, you have Broncos fans looking over. Here we are with the Drew Lock discussion with Teddy, who was really good through three games, but there was a big struggle against Baltimore. You're seeing those guys that the Broncos passed on. And at least for one weekend, boy, Patriots fans feel really good about their situation going forward.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Mac Jones just straight up outplayed Tom Brady. Now, his team let him down, and maybe Bill let him down by kicking the field goal instead of going for it on fourth down. But you got to feel excellent about Mac Jones. You got to feel confident and excited about what the Bears have in Justin Fields. And this is a conversation that is always going to stick with Pat Surtain, and that's not fair to him, but it's a conversation that's always going to stick with George Payton until he finds a quarterback of the future, whether it's Teddy, whether it's someone else. That's just, it's something that we're always going to talk about. Now, here's where maybe Broncos fans and George Payton can find some solace in this. And they could say, well, look, all of those rookie quarterbacks, they're not on a winning team. Right now, the True. Broncos have a winning team, and it takes time. So that's something they could fall back on. But Brady, as we know, that's very temporary. If you have a young rookie quarterback that eventually becomes good, you're going to have a losing team for maybe that rookie season, and that's probably it.
Yeah, and it sure feels. Mac, I didn't watch the Bears game, but you know, just seeing the stats and the highlights, but that Mac Jones game, I mean, he looked the part. I think they mentioned it many times on the broadcast. His ability to go through his progressions, right, is phenomenal. All right, Zach, here's a tough one for you. We're well into the Vic Fangio thing. Is Vic Fangio a good coach?
It's a great question, and honestly, he just had the biggest game of his head coaching career this past week, and I think it's pretty safe to say that him and his coaching staff failed that, as well as the players failed that. I mean, you only go out there and score 7 points. You allow Lamar Jackson to throw for over 300 yards. I know they held him to 23 points, but man, in the fashion that the Ravens beat the Broncos was really bad. So he failed that test. Now, this next game may be the second biggest game of his career, and I don't mean to be, you know, hyperbolic about it, but it's really important for the Broncos not to have a hangover, as Vic said. And also, if they lose this game, Brady, the Broncos could be staring at a 4-game losing streak, and it's not even hard to say, because then they would have already lost 2 games. Then you get the Raiders in town. While they did not look good in the first half last night, they've clearly been able to put it together throughout most of their games this season. And then you have a short week against the Browns. So if they lose this week, I think they're probably going to be underdogs those next 2 weeks. And then you're not just staring at a below 500 record. You're staring at a 4-game losing streak. You're staring at the wheels completely falling off.
Wow.
If the Broncos get a win against the Steelers, they could easily beat the Raiders at home. I still think that Cleveland Browns game is going to be incredibly difficult. But if they win the next 2 games and lose to the Browns, Brady, they're 5-2. They are so fine coming out with some winnable games in the next couple of weeks, being able to play the Washington football team at home and the Philadelphia Eagles at home just before the bye. So the Broncos will be in great shape. But this coming week, I think we're going to know exactly just if Vic Fangio is honestly the guy for this team moving forward.
Zach Stevens joining us, last one on the running side. 9-7. Those numbers are bad. Melvin Gordon, 9 carries. Javonte Williams, 7 carries. I mean, the one touchdown you had, Zach, was Javonte Williams literally carrying everybody to get there. Why did we go away from it? I understand if you're down the whole game 23-7, but there was still plenty of opportunities to pound the rock. And I mean, 9-7, that's the carries. We're going to get 16 carries between those two.
Yeah, it's really inexcusable, and I tried to throw Vic a softball yesterday, Brady, by asking him, you know, statistically your running game was good, you know, what did you think of it? And he said, statistically, it wasn't good. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about? You rush for over 6 yards per carry. And this is just in my mind, but he said, don't look at yards per carry. And so you want to take that 31-yard run out that Javonte Williams had, Brady. Broncos still nearly 5 yards per carry. And the biggest disappointment to me was four rushing attempts in the second half with a backup quarterback. You're down 10 to start the second half. That is plenty of time to come back. You should not abandon the run under any circumstance, even if you have a great quarterback. Not only did they not have a great quarterback, their quarterback was struggling, their offensive line was struggling in pass protection, and you had a backup quarterback coming in. So I thought the coaching staff failed. The offense failed Drew Lock. Drew did not look good, but also the coaching staff did not set him up for success. So I'm right there with you. You can't have 17 rushing attempts, especially only four in the second half, when you're averaging over 6.5 yards per carry. And by the way, just to look at those numbers, because Vic said don't look at yards per carry, the Broncos had, I think, a 15-yard run in the second half, a 12-yard run, an 8-yard run, and a 1-yard run. That means the Broncos failed on one of their four rushing attempts there. The running game was working, and clearly those offensive guards, those young guards, were better in run blocking than they were in pass blocking. And you just said, we're going to do what you guys aren't good at. And it was disappointing to see. The Broncos do not want to get in that mentality against the Pittsburgh Steelers this coming week, because their front seven is just as good, if not better, led by T.J. Watt.
Yeah, and you know, I don't like to be one of those guys that's like, hey, these coaches, you know, I get it. Bad decisions happen. They have reasons for it. But sometimes they're so obvious, and this is one of those. It's like you have, even if Teddy was in, the run game was kind of working. Passing clearly wasn't. Yeah. But then Drew's coming in. You run the ball. And I know they ran it first, but after that, it was all Drew Lock time. So, yeah, big time scratch in my head. Zach, what are you working on throughout the week that we can check out? I know I'll be following you on all things Teddy Bridgewater, all things injury-related. Yeah. This Broncos team's just absolutely decimated with injuries.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I'm actually talking to Dalton Risner later today. It looks like he's going to be able to play, so that's really good. And then we'll see if Graham Glasgow can play, because, man, if they get those two guys back and Teddy back, I'm feeling so much better about this Pittsburgh Steelers game than if they have to roll with backups at three very important positions on the offense.
I'll be looking forward to it, man. There's nobody better. Appreciate your work, as always, and we'll look to catch up with you soon. Maybe Friday. We're waiting, but maybe Friday.
Yes, yes. That sounds great, Brady. Let's do it.
All right, my friend. We'll talk to you soon. All right, that's Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. Yeah, how are you going to run the ball four times? Second half. You guys want to knock Drew Lock. You want to just destroy him. And I get it. He didn't do anything to help himself. 12 of 21, 113 yards, and then that pick late. He was sacked three times. He held onto the ball. He was not accurate, throwing all over the place. But you didn't even dare try to ease him in to that second half of football. I mean, come on, 12:52, the time. We'll take a short break. It's Top Text Tuesday. Load them up. That's the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Will the Colorado State Rams have a winning record in the Mountain West Conference? We'll talk about it next.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Everything you need to know about Northern Colorado is on NOCO now. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Wow, just busting right through that hour. I do think, I'm saying it right here, the Colorado State Rams will have a winning record. That means 5 wins, right? There's 8 games left. They got to win 5. That would give them 6, Colfax. That's my math is correct, and I still think they're a bowl team. There we go. Let's get out of here.